Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Is he there, Ethan? I'm confused. I don't see anyone on the phone line there. What am I doing wrong here? As we start the 3 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour. See, I don't even know what hour it is because I'm being told that David Strom is on the line, but I don't see him on the line. So we're going to have to see what happens there. Welcome back. It's hour number three. And David Strom from hotair.com is expected to be our guest here in a couple of minutes. But we have technical difficulties. By the way, I want to thank the listeners. I know that over the course of the last 4 or 5 days or so, and this is well above my pay grade, ladies and gentlemen, but the station, I've been told, has been a little hinky-jinky with the signal cutting out and some other things, audio skipping around. We are aware of that. The engineering team is aware. They were at our transmitter site trying to address some of this stuff. It gets a little tricky, and we have multiple radio stations in this building. We've also had an HVAC crisis for the last month or so. Sue and I have talked about that. Maybe 2 weeks, because you got blowers all around here and some studio doors are open and all this stuff. So it's been a little bit trying for the team because they have to get, if it's too hot with the engineering equipment that we have to run the radio stations, that becomes a bit of a problem. There's a piece, and I think we're getting David Strom on the air, so I want to be careful about this, but there is what I would say is a required reading, really, really interesting piece in the Free Press today, written by Senator John Fetterman. And he goes into like great detail of his, you know, personal situation, not only with the stroke, but with depression. And it's quite incredible. It really is. It's a great reading. I'm going to share some of that. Also, you have, man, if you live here in St. Louis and you happen to be related to Molly McNerney, who is a St. Louisan, and married to Jimmy Kimmel, I feel so sorry for you that she is embarrassing her family here in St. Louis on the national stage. And if you haven't heard about this, I will share it with you in just a little bit because it's really, it's quite stunning. She won't talk to her St. Louis relatives because they're all Nazis, apparently. Look, I have friends like that as well, but they're, I won't even, I'll wait to play the soundbite because it's ridiculous. David Strom from hotair.com is here. Did you hear the any of that Jimmy Kimmel, his wife is from here, and she goes on a podcast and she talks about how horrible Republicans are and how she can't talk to her family members, David.
Yeah, I've heard it and it disgusts me, and I am so over Jimmy Kimmel.
I know, right?
The hatred, it is just beyond insane.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I mentioned the Fetterman piece. Did you read that this morning in the Free Press?
I did.
That was quite something, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I actually just wrote something that's going out tomorrow about how irony follows John Fetterman like a puppy follows his new master.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there he was. Everybody on the right was saying, look, I mean, the guy is just, he needs to drop out of the race. He's not well. And the left, the progressive left, was just so excited about him. They carry him across the finish line, despite his clearly having trouble at the time. Now, here we are, a couple years later, he's the Republicans' favorite Democrat.
No doubt, not even close.
Yeah. The progressives hate his guts. And John Fetterman himself says, yeah, I think the Republicans were right. I probably shouldn't have stayed in the race. Yeah.
You know, I do feel, and I've expressed this before about Fetterman, I feel a little guilty for judging him in the way that I did, especially reading his story and everything that went with it. I tweeted that out earlier today. You can follow me at Mark Reardon, at Mark Reardon KFTK, and I'm going to get to some of them. I'm going to read from some of the comments. Long, though, but I think it's certainly worthwhile. All right, let's get to some things of the moment. I love this. I know you wrote about it. I want to get your thoughts about the shutdown, but this was freaking awesome. I got to be careful with my language. With George Stephanopoulos on ABC this week with Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary.
George, the best way to do it, and look, you were involved in a lot of these in the 90s, and you know, you basically called the Republicans terrorists, and you know, you said that it is not the responsible party that keeps the government closed. Five Democrats can cross the aisle and reopen the government. That's the best way to do it, George.
I can disagree with you about the history there, but we don't need a history lesson right now.
George,
we
can talk,
about what's happening right now.
If you want, I've got all your quotes here, George.
I'm sure you do.
George doesn't want them in there.
Let's talk about the situation right now.
Read your book. So you got one purchase on Amazon this week.
I love that line. But yeah, he's quoted in the book and he's trying to distance himself, and Scott Bessent or someone on his team went and got the quotes and they brought the receipts, didn't they, David?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that just blows me away is that, you know, so many people, Hegel once said, and this is a little on the blue side, but Hegel once said that, like a dog goes back to his vomit. You know, some people keep on going to the same well, expecting something different. I mean, by now everybody should know that George Stephanopoulos is a terrible liar, that most people in the mainstream media are liars, and yet they keep going back to them. I mean, Stephanopoulos said those things, and now he just, well, that doesn't matter. That was before.
Right. Well, and then like on a different plane, Hakeem Jeffries is doing the same thing here with the shutdown. He keeps insisting over and over again, as if the more he says it, it's going to make it true. And it's not true, that it's the Democrats that are refusing to reopen the government. Now, it appears as if that is changing here this afternoon. It's going to take a couple of days for this to be settled in the Senate. And then House Speaker Mike Johnson will call the House members back to vote on this. But obviously, it was hilarious, wasn't it, David, to hear the explanations from the Democrats who basically flipped and had to come out and say, yeah, we weren't getting anywhere. It wasn't working. So we had to reopen. Open. We told you that a month ago.
Yes. Well, to me, the funniest thing about this, if you can call it funny, is, you know, for weeks we've been hearing about how, you know, people are starving in the streets because the SNAP money wasn't going out, and, you know, people were being hurt, and, you know, Donald Trump is such a jerk for keeping the government closed. And now the government is opening because some Democrats came over to vote for a clean continuing resolution. And what are they really angry about? The SNAP benefits are going to go out. You know, the government workers are going to get rehired. All the things that they said that they hated, it was all a lie. They actually wanted the pain. They enjoyed the pain. They thought that the pain would become a political benefit to them, and now they're angry that it's going away.
Yeah, they're, like, on MSNBC, so confused.
I have a lot more questions than answers. I don't know why Senate Democrats
are going along with
this. So hard for a date promised in the future, and they're looks like they're settling for something that is 6 weeks down the line. Like,
yeah,
and I don't get it.
I would say it doesn't feel like a gentleman's agreement. It feels like Lucy and the football.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah, I see that.
That it's like, oh yeah, yeah, we promised this vote.
Right.
Whoops, you know, the vote's gone.
Now, I don't know who those idiots are, David, on MSNBC, but
yeah,
they clearly are not informed enough to realize that the ACA benefits and the subsidies are completely separate. They must not even know that they were voted on temporarily the first time and then again temporarily, which is why they're expiring. They sounded completely ignorant of everything that this is framed around, and I guess that is to be expected because that's the crap that MSNBC and CNN continues to shovel down people's mouths.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of these people is actually sincere about anything that they say. They weren't sincere 10 years ago when Obamacare passed. Everybody knew that we were going to get to this point where insurance rates were going to skyrocket. It was totally predicted. And the whole reason why they designed the system this way was to crash it so that we would get government-run health care. Now, all of these people are just trying to win the next day when they're on MSNBC. They want political benefit for themselves right here, right now. And they just say whatever the talking point of the day is. You know, one day the SNAP benefits going away was the worst thing ever. The next day, the SNAP benefits coming back on is a cave, and Chuck Schumer should be tossed out,
yeah, right,
and replaced.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, I mean, I've never seen a 180-degree flip so quickly. You know, it's within hours that went from, you know, we've got to get SNAP benefits back because people are going to starve to death. And now they're saying, you know, they're coming back, and that's a cave.
Yeah, it's comical, but oftentimes these things are. One more topic before I let you go. You wrote about this. I think this is hilarious, too, and certainly sad in its own way. You have, and this has been going on here for the entire administration, when you have ICE agents, David, that go in to arrest some of these criminals. So then there's tweets that go out the other day about ICE grabbing someone, a father, by the neck, sending him into a violent seizure while his arms lock up around his toddler. He's having a seizure, and they're trying to rip the baby out of his hands. And then the agents handcuff him before putting him in the ambulance with his child. The mother is detained by agents. It seems like it's a horrible thing. But the truth of the matter was very different than that tweet, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't even remotely close. First of all, the seizure was completely fake. He was examined afterwards, and he's like, he was totally fine. It was done for the camera. It's just like, you know, Hollywood in Gaza.
Right, right.
Where they're trotting out dolls and saying, look at the dead child. I mean, it's complete fiction. You know, in this case, it was doubly so because they didn't just randomly stop this guy. Not only was he, or it might have been the wife, an illegal immigrant, but had stabbed someone twice.
Yeah, her coworker. She had stabbed her coworker.
Her coworker.
Right.
And so again, a violent criminal. And they're portraying this as if, you know, it's the Maryland father thing again. They completely take out all the important context, and it's all designed to make ICE look awful.
Yeah.
They always leave out the, you know, most important facts in all of these stories.
So she was a criminal alien from Ecuador that was released by the Biden administration in 23. In August of this year, police arrest her for assault and battery because she stabs the coworker twice with a pair of scissors and then throws a trash barrel at her. So during the vehicle stop, her child and husband are in the car. The target threw the child into the arms of the husband while he purported to have a medical episode, though refused medical help and displayed absolutely no signs of medical concerns just moments later. Completely fake. Again, going after the violent woman who's a criminal who shouldn't be here. That should be an easy story for the legacy media to cover, but it's not because they spread misinformation out there and propaganda, and then everyone buys into the nonsense. You hear J.B. Pritzker and, you know, Brandon Johnson, I'm sure Mom Donnie, saying the same things about innocent people being grabbed by ICE agents and all this stuff, and it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, it's now gotten to the point where you really have to assume that until you look into something, you're just being lied to. If something, you know, fits the narrative that the media wants you to believe, chances are they have sliced and diced the story. I mean, it's the same thing. I don't know whether you followed the controversies with the BBC, but the top two people at the BBC have had to resign because they have completely, they literally sliced and diced up a Trump speech to make it sound like he wanted to lead people into the Capitol to commit an insurrection. Let's go violently fight to overthrow the government. And they just completely mangled his speech in order to create this narrative.
Yeah. I'm not covered that, but I'm familiar with the story.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's a complete meltdown at the BBC because of this, because, there was an internal memo. Basically, the ombudsman went through and outlined all the bias over Israel, the fact that they've had to make two corrections. I think it's two corrections a day on coverage of Hamas. Because they rely on such bad sources, and they've been censoring information on the trans issue. They mangled Trump's speech, and they just buried this report until the Daily Telegraph got a hold of it. And now the BBC's in complete meltdown.
I know. I just pulled up a story about that. That is fascinating. And you know what? I don't have a lot more time left today because I'm going to wrap up the show at 6 and then we're off tomorrow for Veterans Day. But I just wrote myself an email and copied my producer because this is something that deserves attention here in this country. Not unlike what PBS and NPR and what were, what was exposed
it's
over
the
there
same
by.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. Go figure, right? All right. How many inches of snow in Minneapolis right now?
We got a dusting, but it's going to melt. We're going to get into the 40s again. But the polar vortex is on its way.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's winter. It's depressing. And it's time to move.
Yeah, it's cold down here, too. But we are going to hit the 70s later in the week. David Strom, always great to have you on. You have a great week.
All right. You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It really is, and I'm not going to have time to read the whole thing here, but I would recommend, and I put it up on my Twitter site earlier, at Mark Reardon KFTK, this piece that was written by John Fetterman yesterday in the Free Press. It's very personal, and he tells his story, I think, in a way that has not been told before. And this is from his new memoir, which is called Unfettered, but this part kind of goes into when he had the stroke, and he says it was May 13th, 2022, 4 days before the Democrat primary in Pennsylvania in the Senate race. My wife, Giselle, and I were on our way to the first event of the day at Millersville University in Lancaster County. Giselle looked over at me. The corner of my mouth was drooping ever so slightly. The drooping lasted only a second or two, but she had watched a public service announcement on strokes, and Fetterman writes, it had stayed with her. She spoke to the state trooper who was driving with us, and she says, I think he's having a stroke. We have to get to the hospital. Fetterman admits, I thought she was crazy. What are you talking about? You're nuts. I'm fine. We have to get to the emergency room, she said. The trooper switched on the police lights, and they were 10 minutes away from Lancaster General Hospital. They specialize, luckily, in strokes and problems of the heart. He says that if they were in a rural area, he probably would have died. But he also said, I did anyway. And this is how he explained it. He goes, I'm not entirely sure of the sequence, but during surgery, my heart stopped for several seconds. I had this feeling of leaving, of everything inside me coming through my face out a window and into the sky. Then I survived. The surgeon discovered a potentially dangerous clot that was blocking the left hemisphere of my brain, and he went up through my leg and extracted it. Afterward, the doctors realized that while I was not cognitively impaired, I was effectively deaf. For me to communicate effectively, everyone would have to be in writing. Everything would have to be in writing. 4 days later, he says, the day of the Democrat primary, I went back into surgery to get a pacemaker with a defibrillator installed. I went in at 2:30 p.m. I didn't come out until 8 p.m. At around 11 p.m., I was told that I had won, carrying all 67 counties in the state for the first time ever in a contested primary. President Biden phoned, John Fetterman wrote. He says, I was too weak to take the call. And he said, for several weeks after the stroke, because of his inability to hear, I could communicate only by using a whiteboard and markers. When I was able to speak, I realized that there were words, phrases, even whole sentences I didn't understand. My mode of communication became an iPhone or an iPad with closed captioning. And he admits, is this my life now? And he says he made a pact with himself that if his physical condition did not get any better by August 15th, he would drop out of the race. But he says, I did improve physically, and my polling was so good that I decided to keep going, still confident that I could show voters that there was little impairment as long as I used closed captioning. In hindsight, he writes, I should have quit. And he kind of goes into some of the things that were happening. And look, I'm going to tell you, I said some of these things because we didn't think he was fit to serve. And people on Fox called him the guy that can't talk, or incompetent husk, or a stroke victim who was already crazy. And he says that was just a smattering, you know, so he was being called a lot of names. And certainly there were a lot of us at the time that didn't understand. I think I was empathetic to the fact that he was a stroke survivor, but I was in the camp that thought he can't be a representative for the state of Pennsylvania. And he says that all those words kind of were effective, so effective that they got into my head, he wrote. This is a defining quality of depression. This is where he kind of pivots into some of the depression language. The building blocks of which I had probably struggled with ever since I was a kid. He said, my parents were 19 when I was conceived, and I've always felt it was because of me that my parents were unable to follow their own dreams. When your self-image is negative, as mine was growing up, you gravitate toward shame. You gravitate toward feeling unwanted. And Senator Fetterman said the inclination persisted even as an adult because of the way the brain works in depression. And I'm certainly familiar with that after having a mental health crisis of my own that some of you are familiar with from over the summer. He says, you're always searching for a way to hate yourself. I began to wonder if some of my opponent's insults were true. By the end of September, I felt desperate. He says, in August of that year, he led Oz by 9 points. By the end of September, it was down to 5 and then 2 points within the margin of error. He had a debate scheduled for October 25th. And this is really interesting. He goes, let me tell you what it's like to be a politician on a campaign like this. You campaign for more than 2 years for 12 hours a day. You go to virtually every county in the state, travel thousands of miles, shake thousands of hands, and answer thousands of questions. You rarely see your family. You're so tired you don't even know you're tired anymore. You approve hundreds of campaign ads on television and social media without even knowing if they'll work. You laugh, you cry, you're loved, you're hated. You feel hopeful and hopeless. Anytime a new poll comes out, your heart becomes full or flutters. Then, after thousands of hours spent, it all comes down to a single hour in a television studio in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And he talked about that debate, which was a debate for him. His first words were, "Good night, everybody." And he says, you could hear a pin drop, and it continued like this. "I paused too many times. Every time I began a sentence, there was fear among supporters that I would not finish it. It was a disaster." And he says, it wasn't the impairment from the stroke that had destroyed him. It wasn't difficulty with the audio processing, which had significantly improved. It was nerves. Boy, man, can I relate with this. He says, "I knew this was a make-or-break moment that would determine the outcome of the election, and I had wilted. I'd choked." And he said, for the entire 3.5 hour ride back from the debate, he read reactions on X, shooting myself up, he says, with the shame that is too often the sustenance of the depressive. And this goes on, and you know, he gets very, very personal. He talks about how he was suicidal for months, paranoid. I have relation with this. I don't have, you know, he talks about this shame. That was not true for me with depression. And I luckily was not suicidal. I've always told people, it's not like you put that completely out of your mind, because if you don't think that there's light at the end of the tunnel, you start to worry about that. And I was certainly in that situation in a previous experience I had with mental illness. But he even says, not eating, not sleeping. I spent 2 months in the summer not eating and not sleeping, not speaking, not functioning. Ashamed, despairing everyone I was. I was up and down was up. And then he won the Senate seat. And he says, not only did I win, but I defied every single poll to win by 5 points. And he had outpaced Joe Biden's performance in 64 out of 67 counties. But he says he didn't even care because he was so depressed. He says, I still did not know the depths of my depression, nor did I know the impact it was having on those around me. And I'm going to stop here because he goes into great detail, and I have a guest coming up here and an audio cut of the day. But really, it's a great read. It's something that would make me want to read this book when it comes out. And maybe we can have Senator Fetterman on the air, because he gets very, very personal. And it's certainly appropriately named Unfettered. John Fetterman, a brand new book.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's Veterans Day tomorrow, and we will not be here. We got a best of show that I have compiled with Ethan Hannaford. Then the whole team and the crew will be back on Wednesday afternoon. But I want to focus a little bit here on Veterans Day. Christopher Allen Gordon, who is a local author, and he's written a book called Letters Home from World War II, St. Louis, Messages of Hope and Heartbreak. It really is cool. Christopher Allen Gordon, how are you? Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a really cool project. Tell me a little bit about yourself, first and foremost. You're local? You're a St. Louis guy?
Yeah, I work for the Missouri Historical Society here in St. Louis. I've been here about 24 years now, and so I grew up in Missouri, but not in the St. Louis area.
But I thought it was funny when I was reading some of the press material for this, and this must have helped you considerably, that right here in St. Louis, or at least close, in Spanish Lake, in North St. Louis County, we house the National Archives of Military Personnel Records Center. Who knew that, right?
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource. But yeah, all the military records are kept right here in St. Louis.
So what was your inspiration for this, and how did you go about putting this book together?
So, you know, there were millions upon millions of letters written during World War II, you know, servicemen writing home and family writing back and forth and so forth. And so many of those collections, fortunately, have gotten into, been accepted into archival repositories all around the region. And so, you know, was thinking about, wouldn't it be great to get a collection of these letters all in one place in this book, and that's really how it came to be.
So then what do you do to try to find, you know, another thing I thought was interesting, and I wouldn't have even thought about this, but a lot of the things that, you know, the soldiers were sending home, they had to be censored because you couldn't give out information, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were heavily censored, and that made the book a little bit of a challenge, too, because unlike, you know, we think of letters from the battlefront in terms of like Ken Burns' Civil War and World War One, and where they were able to talk about basically anything and talk about all kinds of details. Well, that wasn't the case in World War Two. They had to be very tight-lipped. And so I read a lot of letters that were basically, "Hi, Mom, how are you? I'm fine. How's Grandma?" The end, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So then how do you, because I can't imagine you could squeeze everyone that was worthy into the book. So how do you go through the process of making sure that the stories that you want to tell in the book are the ones that you select?
So, you know, I really looked for the letters, letter writers who are articulate enough to be able to talk about their experiences without, you know, saying too much in terms of what would set off the censors. And some of them could do that. I certainly looked for those individuals who had, you know, unique and exciting stories to tell, you know, because it wasn't just about the letter. It was also about doing research on each one of these individuals and finding out their stories as best as I could.
So in our local paper, they covered your book, and I noticed that they told the story of someone named Charles Waugh, who wrote some letters home from World War II for his wife, Ella. And that was a good representation because he would write, and this is from, you know, your book, "It is late afternoon and the Chinese red sun is slowly hiding itself behind green mountains which stretch tens of thousands of feet into the heavens." He talked about flying the hump, which was the perilous route over the Himalayan mountains, and described it as a thrilling experience. And then he obviously expressed love for Ella. And in this situation, Christopher, it did not end very well because he never made it back home, did he?
No, he did not. And that was, you know, that was one of the things about writing this book is, you know, I'm going in, I'm not knowing who these individuals are either, you know.
Right.
And so I'm basically tracking their story as I'm reading through these collections. And sometimes I did not know whether they made it or not. And that, you know, you form kind of a bond with these individuals. And it was just as emotional for me, I think.
Do you have one that jumps out as a particularly strong, you know, emotional letter or anything along those lines that you could cite?
Well, certainly the Charles Waugh letters were, he was just a fantastic letter writer. But there's also the letter of Lawrence Kennedy, who was a young man here from St. Louis, who with his friends joined the Merchant Marines. And you don't often hear about the stories of the Merchant Marines, but they were, it was one of the most dangerous jobs that you could have. You know, you were working on the boats that were transporting, you know, hundreds of thousands of tons of supplies over the Atlantic in particular, and they were just, you know, targets for the U-boats, for the German U-boats. And his boat is torpedoed in the Caribbean, and he and his shipmates had to jump off into the water, and they were attacked by sharks.
Oh.
And unfortunately, one of his buddies did not make it. He fell victim to the shark, and then to make things a little bit worse, news of the attack got back to St. Louis before he was able to write his parents. And so he had to reassure them in his letter that, you know, he was okay and that he was doing fine. And he talks, you know, kind of in code about getting over his fish bite.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Christopher Alan Gordon is here. His book is called Letters from Home from World War II, St. Louis, Messages of Hope and Heartbreak from the Front Lines. You know, this typically, I mean, you tell me, you're the author here, but I would expect that a book like this would be very appealing to maybe an older demographic. But gosh, I certainly would wish that younger people, you know, I have two children in their 20s, and you know, people who I feel strongly, and some of us who are a little older, Christopher, don't have the appreciation for what the greatest generation went through. I would hope that some of that gets down to the younger generation to really appreciate what was going on during that time.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, school libraries and so forth will pick this up as well, because, you know, it really gives anyone who reads it, but certainly students and younger people, it really gives them a sense of the emotions that these men were experiencing. But it also, you know, these were very, many of them were very young men. So, you know, I think a younger generation would certainly be able to connect and understand that, you know, they would sympathize certainly with these young soldiers.
You know, I've watched, and I talk about this every once in a while, I've watched Band of Brothers 3 times in its entirety, and it just makes such an impact on me because, and the book was great, of course, as well, but, you know, what you said there about these young kids, and some of them lied to, you know, to get into the war, too. They were trying to do their part. It's just amazing when you look around, and, you know, obviously things have changed quite a bit, but the sacrifices that they made, we you know, my kids are making a sacrifice when the Wi-Fi goes out, or most of us are. That's when we bitch. Yeah. It's just ridiculous, you know, the amount of, I don't even know how to put it into words. I mean, they're freezing, they're losing, you know, limbs, they're, you know, up against bombs, and you name it, and somehow some of these people survive.
Yeah. You know, when we study World War II, we often, you know, whether it's books or movies or documentaries or whatever, you know, we most often see the story from the standpoint of the generals or, you know, the leaders like Winston Churchill or what have you. But it was these kids, was these everyday guys that were on the ground. They were the ones that were running the victories.
Yeah, and that's, I think, why I liked Band of Brothers so much, because that put it into perspective. And I can't wait. I hope people get this book. It's obviously a tough topic. Letters from Home from World War II, St. Louis, Messages of Hope and Heartbreak from the Front Lines. Christopher, thank you so much. It's a perfect way to wrap up the show here on a Monday before Veterans Day. So I really appreciate it. Do you have any signings or anything like that coming up?
Yeah, I'll be at Les Bank Books tomorrow for Veterans Day in the evening at 6 o'clock.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad I asked. So enjoy Veterans Day, and thank you so much for putting this book together. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see Rates and Fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.